study of subjective experience is really quite fascinating. If we were to think about our internal world, the best place to start is with our senses. Let's start with our visual sense. We really don't see everything, really, that there is to see. I don't know about you, but I don't see infrared or ultraviolet rays. I don't see all the colors of the spectrum. I see enough to get me around. But realistically, even my senses have a limitation. And auditory, I don't really hear all the decibels of sound, that the levels of volume and the softness of sound, and I don't really hear all the frequencies. And tactile sensation can deceive us at times. Have you ever stepped into a boiling hot bath and it felt cold at first? Well, there's a sense of distortion. So the basis of all communication is an understanding that we really don't truly perceive everything that is there. We have probably had the experience of being around someone who really believes that what they believe is really true, and that they're really not open to any other aspects of things they may not be seeing. And so understanding neuro-linguistic programming and understanding that there are processes that actually filter reality will help us to be much more humble and much more effective and powerful in our communication. Generalization is something that helps us simplify and code behavior and objects and things. If I go to sit down or I see a chair, I don't really need to go, wow, I wonder what that is. It has a fabric on it, and it looks like it's stuffed, and it has four pieces of wood. No, I just know it's a chair. Why? Well, perhaps it's the process of generalization. That I have generalized it's a chair, and so I can move on to bigger and better things. So generalizations are all around us. We know what a building is. We know what people are. We know what men are, women, children. We may actually generalize a certain group of people or even a particular person. We tend to hold in a certain way because this is how they always are. And when we start moving into the always and never and every single time and there was not a time, that's where our generalizations are blocking us from reality. So generalizations are a good thing, but they also challenge us in that we really tend to see patterns and we look for similarities in things while really not looking at what is beyond. Deletion has to do with leaving out stuff. If I told you everything that happened yesterday, it would take me all of today. And in fact, I would not be able to do it. I would have to delete stuff. And that's one of the principles of each of these filters, is that just try not doing it. It's impossible. That we do leave out information. If I say, oh, it makes me so angry and upset, well, first of all, you don't know what is making me angry or who is making me angry or what is even anger like for me. You know, I may take a baseball bat and go hit some balls, or I may actually just go stomp off and not talk. So it really doesn't tell you much. And in fact, the process of deletion keeps us from solutions to problems. We may not even see the things that are there. Distortion is the process of how every memory, every experience tends to have a certain distortion to it. We distort things and turn things into work of art. We put colors and sound together and end up having a television. So all of media is a sense of distortion. In fact, we think that the apple pie, where the light is glistening on it and it's being pulled out, the rest of the pie in a nice, beautiful slice, is just still light and sound particles, no matter how much our mouth is watering. So there's distortion that happens with people where we think something causes something else. Another way to see it is that the two influence each other. Or we may have trouble with thinking we should do something or we must do something, which really is taking reality and distorting it at a certain level. So the cleaner the communication, the less these filters will be operating. And no one's perfect at this, but as we begin to try to look at where that other person is coming from, we're going to be much more effective in communicating our message. For instance, if I want to communicate red to my wife, and we'll just use an abstract concept here, red, and she keeps coming back with blue, I could say, well, what's wrong with you? I meant red, and she keeps saying blue. Well, I have to admit that somehow it's about me, that the meaning of the communication is the response I elicited. I could be at a place of being powerless and say, well, it's her perception and there's nothing I can do about that. Well, then the communication breaks down. But the NLP community suggests that it's actually up to the communicator to be flexible enough to generate, well, many different ways of communicating until my wife actually gets red. So when my wife finally says, oh, red, then I can say my communication meant red. If you were to take a problem that you have, I'd like you to think about it. And of course, if you're driving, don't close your eyes. You'll have a new problem there. But I'd like you to think about this problem and think about how long you've had it. You know, and what is the problem? And why do you have this problem? What are the causes of the problem? And what have you tried to do about it? How have you tried to solve it? Well, these questions are going to generate a certain physiology, a certain way of being, which we can talk about in a moment. But I'd like you to shift in your seat and then think about this problem, or rather this issue, from a different point of view. And I'm going to ask a second set of questions. What is it that you really want? If you got that, what would that do for you? How would your life be different if you got that? How will you know when you've gotten what it is that you're really wanting? So I'd like you to compare the difference in each set of questions. Most people feel that the first set are limiting. They really steer us back to the problem. They get us thinking about and dwelling in the problem, which then our physiology starts to manifest the problem. And we get stuck. We get stuck in a resourceless state. But the second set tend to pull us out of the problem, and in fact, what we call an outcome frame. Ask, what is it that we're really wanting? Well, the reality is that if we focus on what the resource, for instance, I may be, you know, having trouble with my golf game. I'm paranoid to go out on the green with anybody's, and you know, and I don't want people to see this. So how long? Oh, it's always been there. Why do I have it? Well, because my first instructor decided to quit after working with me. It was just too much for him. And then many generalizations of how many games that were just really bad, and deletions of how many games that were good. So you can see where this is going. But if someone were to say, well, Eric, you know, what is it that you're really wanting? Well, I would love to just play golf and have a lot of fun. I would like to see myself really have a much better score, at least par. So, Eric, what would that do for you? Well, gosh, I'd feel good. I would have fun. I would be feeling in a sense of accomplishment. So these are called the meta outcomes. this is what I'm really wanting. And in fact, it's suggested that if I really focus on these things, my golf game will get better. And sure, I may need some better strategies, but I'm not going to get better being stuck in the problem state. Certainly, I need to move to an outcome state or an outcome frame so that I can begin to get what I'm wanting. So the problem state tends to get us stuck in the past. In fact, if you were noticing eye movements of someone you're helping in this capacity, you'll see them go off and left. It feels limiting, and it's usually unhelpful. There are times for problem framing, especially if we're trying to look at what could go wrong. Outcome framing, though, moves us into the future. Our eyes move off into the right, and it offers us more choice and more freedom. And it's usually much more helpful than not. And so as we finish this section on outcome framing, it's important to talk about the use of softeners. Softeners are that language we use that softens whatever we're going to say. If I said, and if I were a physician and I said, look, you need to start exercising, okay, that's going to be different than if I say, you know, I'm wondering what would happen if you started exercising. Perhaps your health could get better, you could feel better. You know, how is that for you? Well, that's really different than just telling a person what they need to do. And in fact, I believe that the person's going to be much more motivated with softeners. We used to have a joke in my practice as a therapist that it's $120 with softeners and $60 without. And while that's funny, there's a lot of truth to that, that you can get away with a lot. I don't like the phrase get away with it, but I don't know how else to put it. That when you use softeners, like, well, could you tell me a little bit about, or I'm curious, you know, you tend to talk in a way that's pretty abrupt. You know, I was wondering what it would be like if you could kind of change that. Notice the fluffy talk. It's fluffy. It's so padded. In fact, sometimes we can get stuck in the use of softeners and that we really need to back out and not use them compulsively. Because sometimes people don't know what you're talking about. They say, well, just spit it out. Tell me what you're saying, you know. But I'd like you to practice, you know, the can you tell me, I'm curious, I'd like to know about, I'm wondering if, or have you noticed that, or are you aware that, or can you give me an example of? You know, if someone is confronting you saying, look, you're really late, and if I say, well, could you give me an example of that? It's going to be very disarming. I'm trying to still communicate with them and hear what they have to say. And of course, use rapport and the tonality. And so this is another tool you can use, perhaps one a week, just by taking a sticky note and writing it on, you know, one of the softeners down and just playing around with it. It is really a lot of fun.